participe, participe la misma. Si más la misma, técnico, técnico.
Okay, so the topic for today is generosity. And in general, we tend to use the term generosity or perfection of generosity as if they're the same thing. But in fact, there's a major difference between generosity and the perfection of generosity. So first, I'm going to explain in general about generosity, and then if we have time, I will explain about the perfection of generosity, and then we will finish with meditation, and I will explain the meditation using the visualization of flow of the flow of light and nectar. So in terms of generosity,
we've just gone to five. We've only just started.
Okay, let me put it by my foot. okay, so generosity is a practice that everyone will engage in. In terms of the perfection of generosity, this is specifically the practice of the Bodhisattva. And then if we say, what is generosity? In terms of Buddhist texts, one aspect of generosity is giving an actual material object, some kind of object. But generosity can also be done without a physical material object. It is also done as a practice in reliance on the mind. Okay, so if you were going to say, not quite the definition, but what is implied in the word generosity, it is the intention to give. And then if you were going to divide the practice into three, there are three types which are explained, which is the generosity of Dharma, material generosity, and the generosity of freedom from fear. Okay, so So generosity of Dharma, so this is the giving of Dharma to others, and this, in terms of explaining the Dharma, this doesn't mean only when there is a relationship of a teacher and student between the two people. It can also be just talking to one's close friends and family, that for example, explaining to them about abandoning the 10 non-virtues. This is also generosity of Dharma. So any explanation of Dharma that you may give to friends or family is the generosity of Dharma, and there is, and you can see there is great benefit from giving Dharma or explaining anything of these things to friends and family. Nice. Or also, if you have Dharma texts that you've memorized and that you are reciting your text, and at that time you think that there are many non-humans gathered around oneself, and that you recite with the mind that you are giving Dharma. So this, in terms of your motivation through your recitation, is to give to Dharma. That is also generosity of Dharma. So it doesn't have to be memorized. You may be reciting from a book itself. There are lots of different things that could be recited. It may be a Lam Rim recitation. It could be the Heart Sutra. But whatever it is, when you have this motivation to, in terms of that thought of giving, when you have that motivation, then it becomes generosity of Dharma. So then, in terms of generosity of freedom from fear, that so that whatever the fear is of other sentient beings, protecting them from that. So that can be from the tiniest insect up. So that can be from the tiniest insect up. It can be protecting other people in terms of their health, in terms of for people who have mental health problems that. Engaging in things that cause their mind to be less, you know, happy, less fearful, that also falls within this generosity of protection from fear. Yes, so this is quite clear, you know, there's nothing that difficult to understand about generosity of freedom from fear. And then material generosity is the giving of objects, material objects and so forth, or at least in even if one doesn't have a direct object to give, that one is trying to increase one's intention to give. So when this increasing of the mind to give, one of the practices relating to that is giving and taking. So in terms of this increasing the thought to give, that it doesn't need for it to be an actual object of giving, that in general the practice of giving and taking, you think of giving your body, wealth and roots of virtue, and this acts as the basis, that those things act as the basis of increasing one's intention to give, that thinking that those who have clothing obtain clothes, those who have need food attain food, those who need somewhere to live attain a dwelling, that all beings who are in lack attain what they need. And so thinking in this way, we increase our intention, our thought to give. So in terms of this practice, this is not a different giving and taking practice than what we generally explain in the mind training teaching. So it's the same basic practice. And so first, in terms of this, you cultivate focus on the object of compassion, and having focused in that way, then one thinks of taking. And secondly, you focus on object of love and think, and then cultivate the thought to give. So, for example, beginning by focusing on those who are in lack, whether they lack food or dwelling or whatever that is, and thinking of those beings, then cultivating compassion, cultivating the thought, may they be free of that suffering, may they definitely come to be so, and with that thought of compassion, then taking on their suffering in the form of the black smoke that you would visualize entering through your left nostril. So that's your first focus, having focused clearly on compassion, then visualizing. Yes. And so with that mind of compassion, taking on their suffering in the form of the black smoke, and thinking that comes down on one's own self, cherishing at one's heart, and like Rang Chinzen here, self cherishing at the heart, and that this and the self grasping, and that damages and destroys it.
Mm.
then focusing on the object of love, then cultivating the thought to give. So love is that thought that may they abide in happiness, may they have happiness and abide in that. So from thinking of those who lack whatever it is, whether it is food, clothing, dwelling, and having this thought, well, may they obtain happiness and abide in happiness, one gives rise to the mind of love. And then with that thought of love, one thinks of giving one's body wealth and roots of virtue, which manifests as a white light going out to all sentient beings, and so, and giving them happiness and causing them to abide in happiness, so that they obtain whatever they need in the way of food, clothing, or dwelling, that they are fully satisfied. So in this way we focus on love and then engage in this practice of giving. So this is the most important essence of the practice, and through cultivating we increase our practice of generosity through cultivating giving and taking. Then further than that, when we meet with difficulties, whatever the difficulties we meet, we can think that these arise through karma, and in fact there are many other sentient beings who are just like ourselves and meeting, having this kind of karma, meeting such difficulties, and by one's experience of this difficulty may this suffice for all others. And you can use words from the text. There are verses in the Guru Puja or in the Lojong text or in Precious Garland, Precious Garland saying, may all the sufferings of sentient beings ripen on myself and may my happiness ripen on them. So you can use a verse, the recitation of a verse, to focus on practice of giving and taking. So this is the principal way of thinking, and then there is the way that we engage in giving. So it's relating to our motivation, and there are 6 points that are made. And the first of these is to give with one's mind linked to bodhicitta, so that you are thinking for the benefit of all sentient beings, or may all sentient beings attain Buddhahood, therefore I will engage for the benefit of all sentient beings that I will attain Buddhahood, therefore I am going to make this action of generosity. So your motivating mind is that of bodhicitta. Mm. So then the second aspect is in that intention of giving that particular object. So the third, I'll translate, Geshe said the third point is very similar to one's initial motivation in terms of the determination as regards the action, that again this focus on attaining perfected Buddhahood through this action. So it's very similar to the first motivation. And then the fourth instruction or practice is to be skillful in method. And what being skillful in method means is that relates to the making generosity with the wisdom that understands the emptiness of the three spheres. So you think of the person making the generosity, the object, whoever is receiving the generosity, and that which is given, that all these things lack true existence, lack inherent existence. Yes, so you take the three parts, the subject, the action or object that you're giving, and the person who receives, and you think of it in terms of cultivate the wisdom that sees that all those three things lack inherent existence. Action or the object that you gave to the person. Yep. Yeah. And so the fifth point again is to engage in dedication. So that again you are dedicating then that the action leads to the attainment of perfected enlightenment. And the sixth point is a method of complete purity. And what it refers to is that the giving is a method that subdues one's own self-grasping and self-cherishing. So in essence, the instructions are covering you from the way that you generate your motivation, the kind of motivation you're generating through to your dedication. And not only that, but further than that, you are associating it with a pure wisdom, your wisdom understanding. And so therefore the roots of virtue that you create through that action of generosity cannot be destroyed by anger or wrong view, and will continue to give fruit results until Buddhahood is attained. However, to think, oh, if I do it that way, then the results are going to keep coming till Buddhahood, that's not the right kind of motivation. That's why I was smiling. Okay, so in terms of going back to the root of one's way of thinking, it comes back to the reflections that we do with the graduated path. That in the beginning, one thinks about the various sufferings of cyclic existence and how one is oppressed by the sufferings of cyclic existence, and then you take your own experience as the example and see that all sentient beings are similar to oneself, and being similar to oneself, they are also caught within cyclic existence and going through the same experiences. So then you give rise to compassion, and get further giving rise to compassion in the meditations on bodhicitta, you see that all beings at some point have been one's mother, that they have all shown oneself great kindness. And so this is the basis on which we're generating this kind of motivation. So when you have gone through the earlier stages of the initial beings and the intermediate beings practice, that helps you have the right basis for that kind of motivation. So, and likewise, this goes back to the explanations and the understanding of that all sentient beings want happiness and do not want suffering. Even if you go down to the tiny insects, right through to humans, they wish for happiness and not to have suffering. And so this understanding all acts as a basis for one's motivation. Okay, so one characteristic, and if when we're explaining it, so one characteristic is this thought to give one's body wealth and roots of virtue. And then further than that, you have the four characteristics which are so now I'm starting to go into this in more detail, yeah? So when we look at it in more detail, there are four further important points of giving, protecting, purity, and increase. Okay, so in terms of the action of giving, in terms of giving one's body as a beginner practitioner, this is not the right time to give one's body. Actually, one does it through aspiration and thought, but until one has reached the first ground, first bodhisattva ground, it is at that time it is the right time to give one's body. So that, however, by training at this point by aspiration and thought, then we are placing imprints that when we reach to the first ground and we're able to actually directly give one's body, one has the imprints associated with that practice. Then the second factor of protecting is because seeing that we recognize the preciousness of this freedom and endowment we have with this body. So at the same time we protect our body in terms of its health, protecting from illness, protecting from harms, whether they are human or non-human. So that we, in regards to this, that when we are engaging in Dharma practice, there may be a time where one puts one's body through very strong kind of ascetic, like physically difficult practices, and pay no attention to it, the difficulties of heat and cold and so forth, and that could be it could be faulty to pay no attention to that in terms of protecting this body. Okay, and then the third factor in terms of purity is, and relating to the body, is in terms of supporting our physical needs, that we are pure in terms of not supporting it through the 10 non-virtues. So in particular through the three non-virtues, physical non-virtues, and the four of speech. So just to clarify, so when we're saying pure in this case, in terms of our body, we need to have what we food for eating, we engage in work. But so it would be unsuitable to earn that livelihood and how we get our necessities of life, of food and so forth, by misleading others and lying to them, to stealing from them, or engaging in slander or abusive speech. And further than that, you can see obviously then the physical actions of killing, stealing, or sexual misconduct to gain one's livelihood would not be right. So you're supporting your the purity refers to, in terms of your body, is supporting your life by not engage without engaging in these non-virtues. Mm. Okay. And a further example that can be given is that not earning your livelihood through selling something that harms sentient beings, because then there is a lack of purity in that.
No.
Okay, and then increase in terms of one's body, it is increasing the virtuous actions we engage in physically, and through thinking to increase these also so that in the future one has the increase of qualities, conducive conditions like the eight ripening factors and so forth. So all one's virtuous actions of body, like making prostrations, it includes speech, like the recitations with speech. Okay, so you can see that there are many virtuous actions that we use our physical body to achieve, so that's what we're looking at increasing there. Okay, so then we look at the same four factors in relationship to wealth, because that's the next thing that one is thinking of giving. So wealth, if you have actual wealth to give, then you engage in giving of that. If you do not, then you engage in, through thought, increasing increasing your mind to give. And then the second, in terms of protect, is like not wasting what you have. Don't use it. Don't fritter it away meaninglessly. Tapa. Ale longju druva. Okay. So then in terms of purity, it comes back to the similar thing in terms of before we were talking about not supporting your body physical needs of life through wrong action. So likewise, in terms of accomplishing your wealth, the same advice applies.
Mm.
Yes, so this same thing of the your lively that your material wealth that supports your life in that same way, then you cultivate it in a pure way. Okay. And then the fourth factor of increase, then it is through in terms of by generosity, we cause an increase as a generosity. Wealth is the result of The result of generosity is wealth, so an increase in wealth. So you, by generosity, you are invoking this factor of increase. And further than that, you have generosity to the different bases in terms of those in need and so forth. Okay, so then we have the giving of roots of virtue. So again, you have the thought to give that there's not an actual object of giving, you are doing it with through aspiration. So protect is to protect it from destruction by anger or wrong view. Because these two factors destroy our roots of virtue, so you try and protect them from this. Then purity in terms of roots of virtue is that one is in giving one roots of virtue, we to be free of the fault of self-cherishing, to not have kind of a self-cherishing mind in thinking of giving roots of virtue. And then increase is dedication, because by making dedication you increase your roots of virtue, so you are dedicating for the purpose of sentient beings. Okay, so these are all aspects of the practice of generosity, and they're all, I think these are all something, all things that we can work with, that we can make use of. And then when you come to the perfection of generosity, it has four specific characteristics, and it's not so easy.
Sem dulni pe ta ji lambda pe khar sore pe na ye te te bara ye te bata te chin hogai lambda shuya jarwa lambda shu tu te te mi pe che barwa
nos
sen
Semmin. So so sem di mi jemba di mi jemba di sem mentu na.
Mentu na.
Jim jimba ta. Okay.
Chu shi ni so da jimbe ko ne.
Jimbe ko ne.
Jimbe ko ne tebas mo kanu de mo sha bas no.
Okay.
Di pe jimba ka jimbe kiran de pera pera jo da jimbe ka da. Chu bi ji pe de ji ne na o da. Sem mi e jeba.
Okay, so I'm going to explain it in general. And the first factor in terms of the perfection of generosity is the thought through generosity to ripen the continuum of others in any of the three vehicles, so that the person themselves having a greatly subdued mind, thinking to engage in generosity, but whatever that generosity they are making, they are thinking that this action will ripen the mind of the other person in any of, like, the hearer, the solitary realizer, or Mahayana vehicle, whichever is suitable. And then to second characteristic is fulfilling the hopes of the other person, that the other person, whatever they are in lacking in terms of either a physical object or whatever they are hoping for, that you are able to fulfill that person's hope, so that you can see that's something that's not easy to do. Yes? No? Shingi rewa zoba.
Shingi rewa zoba san ta kurang kare na shingi rewa zoba san wala. Shing kurang chi pina pina ta kol pungo bota wish pina kol ngu bota wish ko wen ta nga pengu susu ye ba yana ta ngu ti chatan pata shan kore wa zoba rwa.
Okay. So that's a difficult point. One example is the physical thing. If someone lacks money and you are able to give them the you have the money and you're able to give them what they need, and you give them all that they need in the way of money, then you have fulfilled their hope. So for a bodhisattva, they because they are focused on the action of giving, this is practice that is easier for them. Us as beginners, that's not where what we're able to do. Okay.
What if they want something that we haven't got to give them?
Kōtō rewa ngāzō, kōtō rewa de ngāzō ngāsū yumare. Rewa de kōtō rewa ngāzō yeah. Kōtō dōba de ngāzō trito gumena de ngāzō yumare de kōtō rewa de hang on, I've tied myself in a knot. So get ngansu di so samba che. Rewa zoba de jangju zembala. Hang on, let me go back. Okay, so you're saying for a bodhisattva or for a beginner practitioner? Okay, so then Geshe-la answered in terms of the beginner, then you are principally doing it by your thought to give, you're doing it mentally. Okay. Okay. And then thirdly, that it destroys miserliness. The opposing factor to generosity is miserliness. And so that this act of generosity destroys miserliness in terms of the bodhisattva's first ground. They are, the bodhisattva's first ground specifically relates to the attaining the perfection of generosity. Okay, and then the fourth characteristic is having a realization of emptiness. So, so that these four characteristics of the perfection of generosity are explained in Maitreya's text of the clear ornament of realization. So the main thing here is so that you understand the difference between generosity and what is meant by generosity, what is meant by the perfection of generosity. Okay. Nichik Doba Yina Yinan Goran Doba Dubnan Goran Rang Nogi Yu the Dene De Kabnats or Ngodi or Doba De Rewa Makawa. Yeah, so one uses wisdom and acts in accordance with the situation. So that if even temporarily it is an action of generosity that is of some temporary benefit, but in the long term it will harm them, then that's an unsuitable circumstances to make generosity. So it's given like advice that at the time of generosity it must be assisted by wisdom. Okay, any okay. Any other questions? Yes. Okay, we're here. General generosity. Perfection of generosity. Dhamma drupten, jimba dhamma drupten, shivadi tab kewa, de kursum, mimic patcher de and de Tony than draw what it is. Quang moments of a jumba, dam parching jumba, give her the Tony. So you one would actually say those 6 points would cover both the perfection of wisdom, perfection of generosity and ordinary generosity. So that for us as beginners, as regards those three spheres, we aspire, we kind of direct one's mind to this thought that the subject, object, and the action or the substance which is given, these all lack to existence. We don't have a direct perception of that, but we direct our mind towards that thought. Or in addition to that, one can recall the reasons why those three things lack inherent existence. For example, remembering them as dependent arisings, or our analysis of being one with or different from. If you can remember those kind of reasonings at that point, that's very good. Even thinking of the meaning of how things lack true existence or lack inherent existence, so that one has this generic image or a kind of a conceptual understanding of the meaning, and thinking, well, that is probably so. There is a text that says that even that thought, that level of understanding, disintegrates cyclic existence in the same way that a cloth left out in the sun would disintegrate under the power of the light. Okay. Yes?
Yeah, so we talk about protection for free from fear, and so it's does it mean that generosity is actually the antidote for the fear? And, I mean, we are talking about helping people.
Yeah.
The generosity for free from fear. Mm. So, I mean, how do we do that?
Okay. Mijuba jimba nazo kandes chigre. Mijuba jimba. Yeah, so it's simply protecting the other from whatever fear they have. It may be protecting an insect of fear of whatever.
Fear of tsunami, there's nothing we can do.
Yeah, tsunami. There are many things we cannot do. We cannot. Yeah, there are many that we cannot directly protect from those fears, but otherwise one can aspire to that.
Mm. 대주에게 고충사의 시그마체대의 가사들에 되게 삼아고 내 기지든 길래기 왕이 중고로 지든 길래기 왔다 남방도 남배를 시티지 왔다 지금다 되게 돼 기와 무슨 기업다 지금 로제하다 되는 거다
나 복귀는 대응한 소상기 고반 더보기 겨보한데 복귀는 소상기 고반 그 소상기 고반 더보디 레 켄디 급고로와 Okay, so in terms of the temporary the temporary situation in terms of the harms from elements not elephants, elements protect the harms of the gotta watch those elephants anyway, so harm from elements. If and one looks kind of at the final underlying things that person meets those circumstances because they have an environmental karma. And so that from the Buddhist point of view, when that is explained, there are these underlying karmic elements. And so in the immediate, if one can do anything that will be immediately helpful or protect them in any way, one does that. And then my discussion was then ultimately that's why you look to bring beings to Buddhahood, because that's the only way they get protected from karma. I mean, if you're looking at it ultimately, if you're looking, because you can't directly protect them. Musula musula kyom matowa de ngazo nyamlen chewa de ngazo de
sajo de ko mamba machuya se ato tirewa
ne
nata legi mangi ha ko che de che de chi molam ye ara so ba chirwa dirwa da tindo gi chi che de chi che se ro ya jo le ta se ro
so that in the immediate, one may not be able to protect them, but one can still make prayers and so on for this kind of thing not to arise in the future and so forth. And you may, through that kind of practice and prayer, it is possible that karma is purified or come. Okay.
My question is more about should we kind of a goal with we need to be able to protect ourselves so that we have the ability to give, and then from there we can purify our actions and increasing the generosity. But I don't really know whether it's, but it certainly is not the order we were saying. We say it's giving protection, purifying those.
Tang som taba pel korum di gyumzen kor deji korum mixel yurwes then pora pena moran samotana so zul lu tambu sungures lu sung jela jen tang togres tang togres de moran de tambu sung jema tambu lu sung lu tang de So, so that the four points I haven't seen in a text explaining it, that's the sequence that you have to, they are four points of practice, but not necessarily that they are a sequential thing in the way of that you've given the example. Yes.
I might have asked the question before. Gish was talking about you motivate before you do these actions and then you dedicate. I always remember to dedicate often in the three spheres, but I'll just do something because it's spontaneous and I forget to normally.
Yeah.
Just wondering if you're still getting the benefit from it.
Okay. The gulang da ngo. Jin jima tan de gulang da ngo mixel dre shi yorwa. The gulang ngo trang dos. Ngo chena trang dos. Nam sum gi megba meba gi sherb de trang dos. Yinang gulang gulang. Mixel jangchu sem dan sing sambagi gulang sheta trengman dos ko de chena yabu dos te samba chena shawadrugi yus I gulang jangchu sem ma samba yena shawadi penga dos gewe shawa pendo drugirwe
jidang kurum koran chuna malek mewe inasi
Korang gulon nga gimzin di chegi yin samg me gudo di chena yabu dos tagran chegi dos jema ngowa chena trengu do Shoke the Suzu Shoke Gulong Kennedy. So first thing is to do dedication, that in itself is kind of not enough, but you know that's suitable, that can suffice, you would say. So dedication is good. If in the morning you could set a motivation, to set a morning motivation, that would be beneficial. Sorry, yes. Yeah, kind of like a thread.
It makes me think of that. If your general way of viewing the world stays very much in motivation of a good motivation, then obviously it's strengthened by revisiting that every morning. But that would carry life. Yeah, this motivation being part of your being and understanding, you truly have it inside you, that when you're actually feeling the feeling of generosity, it sort of will be coming from that place. You know, if you're not doing it because you wanted something from that person, if you're doing it because you genuinely want to give that person, that person of suffering or...
Okay. All right. So chena gi sim zamba di medium rock ba chena so chidang gi drotang yuna da tele jamba thawa de digdo es mixel yang chu mixel yang yeah the medium ba len rewa mendos de tagas am yeah so yes if you have a general intention to help and that factor of not expecting something in return that's not expecting something in return is one aspect of bodhicitta so
if part of your motivation is that you're doing this because you want merit doesn't that like we were talking Geshe was saying before that about not undoing I kind of see a fine line between setting motivation in a very set way for merit and you know that whole aspect of what your true motivation
and gulong Gulong Zanda, Gulong Sozo Yabu Chena Sonam Sagres, de Yabu Yongres, the Morang Gulong Zambu Dang Sosogi donat sonam sawa de ningadus morandes sambado. Kibi yuri moran ningadus sangi in a de sosos nga zang chegi in yena sambade nga sonam drugres dan chirdang zang china. So it would not, when you do that motivation thinking that I will accumulate merit, it is not that that is faulty, but and it will bring benefit within cyclic existence, but it doesn't become a cause to attain Buddhahood. Kishla said the result remains far off, and it's not specifically becoming a cause of Buddhahood. So that the virtue you create may ripen in this life, the merit that may ripen in this life or in future lives, but because it is not motivated with simply the thought to benefit others and not dedicated to that, then it does not, while it will become a circumstance of benefit in future lives, it doesn't become a cause for enlightenment.
We haven't talked about others' generosity to us and how we should accept that generosity. Sometimes it's difficult.
Right. Okay. Chenang answer so soon, Jimmy Yamlin Kedish. So, Nigashla Drashi Gyab song. In a dead Sansala, Mijim, but so so la Jin Tangado. And so Jin Jimba Rai, Sansan Kabudo Sigris. So so carry check you. So the first Geshe-la was talking about when you make generosity, then naturally whether you want it or not, results where other people help you or are generous to you are going to circumstances will arise. Okay, so that's just a consequence. It just happens. Okay. you know, separate to any expectation or anything, that kind of thing happens. Yeah. Okay. So first is one should rejoice in the fact that whatever they are, you know, generosity action that they are making. Secondly, and the obviously that one thanks or, you know, expresses one's thanks for whatever it is. If you have if you don't need it, maybe you can show, you know, say, well, that's not something I need, but could you do that for so-and-so, or show them as a different situation that they would be helpful for. Or the other thing is in accepting that generosity, you may be able then to pass it on, or, you know, direct it to somewhere that it is useful. So,
I think culturally it's harder for us to actually receive this care. So it leads that sometimes uncontrolled feeling. But the generosity, giving generosity, when it's receiving generosity, it's actually also allowing the other person to receive their benefits of their generosity too. So.
Yeah, that you're allowing someone else to make generosity there. And so New Zealand, me jambas also Robert, you know, there's no tayuris, there's lo mi deodo. You know, the tomoda clear de, me jambala Robert, you know, kozo gewa sagrua, the Koran rangi jintawa gi sha. Yes, so there is that aspect of accepting generosity that there is an advice to accept, because the other person is accomplishing virtue by that action. And so, for example, there's an advice as when teachers are explaining the Dharma, naturally there are offerings that people will make. And there's an advice that you shouldn't be saying, don't, you know, I don't need that, take it away, because that person is creating virtue. So you're accepting, you're allowing them to create a positive action. And there's a story relating to a teacher that at one point Drom Tomba offered him gold at a teaching, and in general a teacher was kind of very clear that you didn't explain teachings to get offerings and these kind of things. But at that time, he accepted the offering of gold because of the merit that Drom Tomba would create through doing that. And so likewise similar story is that when we're meditating on the merit field and you have the offering of the mandala within with the seven limb practice, that you think that that in offering that they receive it and are pleased, that and so that they accept it, and because the action is to gather the accumulation of merit, so that you're thinking of the merit field actually accepting what one offers. So that because we do offer the mandala, and we're offering it mentally by aspiration, but at the same time in offering it we think that the merit field accept it, because the action is that the action is made for the accumulation of merit. Sentient beings.
We're getting more and more closer to that in order to help more sentient beings. So there are practices where you're kind of quite focused on the merit in a way. But it's not.
So generosity.
It's not
your own self gain. No.
You want merit.
Okay, so that you're thinking of engaging in, when you say practice, like making generosity.
Or precepts.
In order to attain Buddhahood, so you're focused on the merit of the action, but not because you're thinking of a personal benefit.
Yeah. I mean, you do those practices because I'm not doing it, because I know it creates merit, but it's not because I want it.
Because you need it to attain Buddhahood. And in Gulande, Nadzo Nyamlin Che, the Nyamlin Kariyana De. Nyamlin Domba Te Jengi Domba Yena Jimba Tawa Yena Jena Gorande Sange Goban La Toguno Sonam Sagres De Gimsen Nyamlin Che Dena De Nyamlin Chewa De Sonam Tringerwa Yena Koran Nixel Kepin Nyes Sonam De Ngala Kepin Chungres De Te kibar does, te sozo sangi govan towa sonam gugres, te agulon tapare mane. Maybe it's not a completely pure motivation, but you are thinking that I need to gather the accumulations, you know, perfect the accumulations in order to accomplish the path. Yeah, so it's not specifically linked to the mind of self-cherishing. Yeah, I guess the sonam, I don't know how you translate that into Tibetan, it has an edge. that's gulon, that's gulon, that's mataba. It's true, we need the causes. Mm. Because you need in order to attain Buddhahood, you need the causes, which are the accumulations of merit and wisdom. Therefore, we have to accomplish those causes. I think it's good. It's not that it's because otherwise you could end up doing it not really thinking, having a clear motivation at all. Ma tremba yena tagaza che yena de gulong mixel gya chembo yingu marwa the sangi goban gigu drup goba ma tremba chena de gulong taba yongwa mixel pendo marwa. The Quran de gulong sangi goban towa de so nila zoguwa matremba chena te mixel gulan tapa yin sigamarwa
tapa
matremba chena de ranging gulan sama yin yon sigamarwa. Yeah, so to not remember it doesn't necessarily mean you have a pure motivation, because we do a lot of things kind of just kaisuras the ngatsu gulon sama yoma so de janchu sem yangchu senala yangyu tremba de nu chewa dan shir dan sabai inande ngatsu le thambo de thambo nam thola ke guru este gulon mixel ke guru este inan janchu sem yangyu gom gyawa nu chewa de gulon thaba yongru wa tabe kali yongruwa. So I don't know, it's a bit mean like stating the obvious, but of checking with Geshe-la. So because as beginners we have to consciously create a motivation, like a conceptual motivation. So how do we get to a pure motivation? By meditating on bodhicitta again and again, so that your power of bodhicitta is growing. So then it becomes, and the power of that is how your motivation moves to a more and more pure. Okay. Yendin Gedin, then Goma Tamu Gesanganzo Pel, Lu Pel.
That's right.
But will you be there tomorrow? Because Geshe-la just wants to check on the 8th. But this is to do with things like having attained a precious human rebirth, then the 8 ripening factors refer to everything that would give you the best conditions for your Dharma practice. So, for example, having a long life, good physical body, or in the past, it also related very much to your status in society, so being of a good caste. So those are some of the examples, but the essence of it are there 8 factors to give you the best circumstances for Dharma practice. Yeah, and it's kind of like having respected speech and top jambo. Yeah. So having respected speech, or another one is having a strong body, so that you're able to, you know, be able to physically deal with difficulties of practicing Dharma. But the essence of all the eight is to have the conditions that make it as easy as possible for you, or as favourable as possible might be a better way of saying it. That would come in the first, that comes in the eight freedoms and ten endowments. So these, Karen Lama Jaya Deljo Rala, Deljo Rangrua. Yeah, not in these eight ripening factors. Yeah, so meeting a teacher would come in the ten endowments. When we have the eight freedoms and ten endowments.
The eight things are like the right view, right mind, right speech.
No, this is a different eight. Lam Gyaba de Mare. It's another eight. It's called eight ripening factors. You have the basis of the eight freedoms and ten endowments, which is your perfect precious human rebirth, and then there are eight ripening factors that, having got that, will make it even more favourable or easier, better circumstances for you to be able to practice.
My question is about, so we talk about the perfection for generosity and the final, but it's about the emptiness. So they kind of bring me back to another question I had, and after speaking to you ask that question, so I'm going to ask. It's about clouds that we talked yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
So the clouds, we kind of refer it for the future, and mm-hmm. refer it for karma. But the way that we see clouds is that it needs to accumulate more water in order for the rain to come and to clear the sky.
Mm-hmm.
So does it mean when we apply that to the emptiness, does it mean we have to accumulate more karma, or do we find a way to make the karma ripen as soon as possible to get the clear mind back?
Right. Kasang signala de paychik trin trin mong bing opu. Then in the trinina de tabu trinu da chuso chune sawa ko chabra ba lotokke. Pe de toni la jeldu den kari samlo tangres de ngazu. Okay, I'll say this bit first, so the first thing is that you are thinking that these clouds, these things, are the gathering of a variety of dependent arisings, and then through that, you know, the rain occurs and so forth. And so therefore they lack inherent existence. They have emptiness. But you're talking about as an analogy for realizing emptiness, yeah? More for the ngadets, ngagyura noso, the trinde toni toksa. Nazo Tony Togurwe, Nazo Tony Nguson Togurwe, Trending Tony Languson Tobala Pajel Togurwes. Well, Nazo Landru do Tony La. So, hang on. At the end of it, you said something about clear light. You would, because we, through understanding emptiness, we see the mind as clear light.
Yeah, I thought that using this analogy, the sky is like the clear light of the mind. So,
Okay.
What we try to get back to.
Okay. Dekab kanzin muankazanga zo toni la searching uselwa la muan namkala uselwa ruis dekab trinala na uselwa. Morande namka de pedina la namka uselwa simgi uselwa tremba rema. Well, the dinanjit morang de pedi. Okay, so the main thing about this is it's talking about the lack of inherent existence of phenomena. That if you think of the karma, the clouds as being like the self-grasping through which we accumulate the karma that then produces the various results, like the clouds accumulate water and then rain and the crops grow. So it's looking, it's more a general image to represent the lack of inherent existence of phenomena. Although there are examples, which Geshe-la began with, where you do talk about the sky as being clear light and the clouds as the clear light of the mind and so on. But this example in general is just relating to the lack of inherent existence of phenomena.
Okay, so the clouds represent the grasping as true existence. So that one is already left out of true existence.
Mm.
So once we get rid of that one, clouds is no longer there.
Okay. So then the Trinde denzin gi wonga so lesak de denzin pandu trinde mewa drogerwe
So in this
case it's more like an analogy rather than saying this is how it's happening. It's using an analogy to represent the lack of true existence rather than saying, well, when you've abandoned self-grasping, the clouds will disappear. So it's not talking about the process. It's an analogy for... it is talking about the process, but it's not talking about the process of abandonment per se. It's an analogy of how things lack inherent existence.
But didn't we say it's more about the future, like the dream, lightning, and the clouds? It's for past, present, and future. So
mm-hmm.
It's more like the future. So on this day for the future, it waits really just to explain.
Okay. All right. Karen's in a trinde maomba.
Oh yeah, maomba leje. So the future, you know, future objects.
Mm. Future objects.
Future objects. Even there's future objects are even though lack of inherent existence, but still there are many causes and conditions arising. Then you know, result is happening.
And
you
know?
Yeah.
No, right.
Yeah, that even the future objects, because as a gathering of cause and conditions, they will bring results. They're not without results. Mm. Mm. Did they so? Then chide dungal yongrua chide ngazul. Pejalna, suzo lamdruna, That's what I'm saying. That is in Nizo. The Drabute Sangi Govan.
So they're explaining two things. Mm. Not only samsara. Not only samsara things, you know. Also, other side.
Mm. Enlightenment.
Yeah, the enlightenment and liberation, all these things. You know. So all these things are lack of inherent existence. But still all many causes and conditions, you know. You know, the liberation and enlightenment is happening. Two things.
Mm. Yeah, so
things and enlightenment or liberation things. Both things.
Because the Geshe-la's first example was how it, you have two grasping karma, the water and the experiences. You can also, it can explain how enlightenment is attained in terms of we practice the path, gather the accumulations, and the result comes about, which is enlightenment. So it can be applied as an analogy for the either the purified side or the suffering side. Okay. Are we...
Is there time to meditation?
Yeah, short meditation. What time are we? Okay, so... Okay. So I'm going to remind you first about explain about how to visualize the flow of light and nectar. So the first thing is you sit in a comfortable position. You visualize the form of Shakyamuni Buddha on your head facing the same way as you. And around yourself you're thinking of all sentient beings. That on the right, your father and male relatives. In front of you are the people that you don't get on with, that you dislike. But you're putting them in front of you as a way of making them more dear to you. You left your mother and female relatives and behind of friends. Okay, so then you make a request for the Lama Buddhas to bless you to be able to cultivate the practices of the Bodhisattva, which is the perfection of generosity in material generosity, generosity of freedom from fear, and generosity of Dharma. So that then, having made that request from one's Lama Buddha on your crown, flows down five coloured lights and nectars to oneself and all sentient beings, completely purifying all obscurations and negativities accumulated since beginning this time, and in particular purifying all the obscurations, interferences, and negativities to the practice of the three types of generosity. And then that oneself and all sentient beings' bodies become in the nature of clear light, your merit lifespan and realizations of the spoken and realization teachings increase and expand, and in particular you give rise to the realizations of the practice of the three types of generosity. Okay, so that's the visualization. If it's before you visualize in that way, if it's helpful, you recall to mind what I've explained about the three types of generosity.